What's up, everyone, and welcome to a brand new episode of What's Worth Watching. In this new edition, we discuss just what's worth watching in 30 minutes or less. This episode, we are watching Disney Plus's Loki, Episode 3, Lamentis. Spoiler alert, if you haven't watched this episode, if you've watched it, it's time to geek out about it. Speaking about geeking out, on this episode, we have a special guest, staple of the network, Seth, is joining us.
There you go. That's what's up. What's up, everybody?
And joining me as always, Adam the Urban Spike.
Should I do the ASMR voice?
So this episode of Loki was basically Loki taking a field trip and trying to restart the multiverse.
I don't think it's him trying to restart the multiverse. It's more of, well, I mean, he obviously wants this ultimate power of like the time that the timekeepers, whatever they are, that those beings have, if they're even real. But I don't think he has any kind of plan, and this is the first time where we see that he has no kind of plan, and he's just winging it as he's going along, because he's currently dealing with something that he's never dealt with before, at least that we've seen, which is essentially time and space travel.
Yeah, I think you're right on with that. I think he is in a world where he's in unfamiliar territory, where he doesn't have a plan. The direction that he's moving is inadvertently starting the multiverse, or restarting the multiverse, depending on where the TVA land in the timeline. The reason I'm saying that is towards the end, to save their lives, their attempt was to change time. The apocalypse was supposed to happen. Everybody on that planet and on the Ark were intended to die. Loki and Sylvie, they were purposely trying to save everyone on the Ark to save themselves. And then right there, by definition, is creating the multiverse.
It's like a bunch of different timelines already. Right. So the fact that she's there and then he's there at the same time is already messing things up. And then, so mind you, they're stuck there because they don't have the little time doohickey thingy to get back. So that was like almost like their only way out, essentially. So, I mean, we don't know how they're going to get saved, but as of right now, that timeline is essentially the same because the destruction still happened.
That's what made hiding in the apocalypses, which was revealed last ep, genius.
Yeah, because they don't split off because the tragedy still happened.
And the TVA's never tipped off. At this point in time, Sylvie and Loki are doomed. There's no way to call for help in the sense of Heimdall. You can't say, hey, Heimdall, look at me, because during that period of time,
he's dead. This is 2077.
Asgard's gone.
I see TVA stepping in and pulling them out.
How, though? Because if they can't change anything to alert of where they are in the timeline, hijacking the Ark would have been the spike needed for the TVA to find them. But because they were unable to do that, there is no avenue to change time to alert TVA. This is where we're at.
I mean, Loki being the trickster god that he is, I definitely see a lot more up his sleeve. You know, for all we know, he could have pretended like the thing was broken just to try to save the Ark. You know what I mean? Like, you never know.
Oh.
So he can even be like, oh, well, I tried. You know what I mean?
This was a ruse. I always had this in the back of my hand.
Or to see if he could trust her or something like that.
Speaking of that relationship, I'm really digging the kind of buddy rom-com that is between Loki and Sylvie. It seems like they're setting up some type of romance. It seems like there's an attraction on both ends there.
Yeah, well, who don't love them so?
Is it a little odd that they may be developing something there? It's not even a twin because they're not siblings. They are the same person. They're the same entity.
Do you think Sylvie is actually the Loki?
Yeah. I mean, I think they make it clear this episode.
You remember You remember when we all did those filters that made us look like girls?
Yes. And every one of us wanted to bone down Dario?
Yes. That's what I compare it to. You don't think Dario would have boned his female self?
Well, to be fair, I think that he would bone down his male self.
fair enough. So I don't know. Yeah.
I mean, it is interesting. Loki is very self-involved. He is very vain. He feels due. So it does kind of fit that he would find himself attractive, or he would be drawn to himself rather than another entity altogether. He's almost asexual. In all of the movies, we've never seen him show interest towards male or female. It feels like the show wants us to be okay with the idea that Loki might be getting with his own reflection. I don't know, Adam, do you think that you could meet a potential version of yourself, male or female, we don't judge, and be attracted in that kind of way?
I mean, she'd be a fat chick.
You're so stupid.
So probably not.
So no matter what, in all the possibilities of time, you're always gonna end up fat.
Yes, yes, that's the one constant.
All right, so moving on past that, in the episode, where are we? I understand we're on a moon. I understand it's imminent doom that we're going to have the apocalypse. All of the people that are on Lamentis are meant to die. But the color tones, the purples, all of the neon signs with all of the alien alphabet on display, it feels very reminiscent of Xandar, very reminiscent of Xandar. Or am I reaching with that?
I think you're reaching with that, because I don't know if you remember, but Xandar is very bright and sunny and very much Earth-like.
Well, the reason I say this, I wonder if these are survivors, because we do know that Thanos took the power gem back in Infinity War, or pre-Infinity War, and decimated Xandar. So could these be refugees? Could these be people in 2077, which would be 50 years in the future from that timeline, that settled?
If it was, they would have mentioned it, because that feels like the kind of thing, because this episode was pretty slow. So like, if that was a reference to Xandar, Rian, whatever, refugees from Xandar, I don't know. I think they would have mentioned it in some form.
So Luminous, that's the planet in the show, but Luminous was actually a character in Marvel Comics.
It's Lamentis.
Tomato, tomato. Lamentis is actually a character in Marvel Comics, created from Scarlet Witch and Quicksilver. And she has both their powers, and she ultimately gets defeated by Vision. So I wonder if this was like just a little homage to that character.
They like to plant little Easter eggs here and there for the serious nerds out there.
I just looked up Luminous. Mm-hmm. Luminous was created by the High Evolutionary.
There you go.
Using genetic material of Scarlet Witch and Quicksilver.
There you go.
But Luminous isn't Lamentis. Lamentis is the planet.
Whatever, Adam. Okay.
I'm sorry to just shut that down, but hey, at least we're not out there spreading fake news.
Well, you know, Marvel, and you know how we all just kind of try to piece crap together to try to make it fit.
They kind of train us to do that. I mean, we're always looking for the Easter egg here. I just brought up this whole conversation of, I think these are refugees from Xandar, just based upon color and some, you know, alien scratch on the walls.
Yeah.
The interesting thing from this episode is we learned that all the TVA agents are variants, and that also lends to the theory that the timekeepers aren't even real.
He says in the episode, he says, I was told they were created by the TVA. Who told him that? Because I don't remember that scene taking place.
the animatic that plays in that first episode said that the TVA was created by the timekeepers and all the inhabitants of the TVA were created by them.
It says that?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure.
That completely missed me then. When he says to Sylvie, I was told they were all created by the TVA, I felt like that was an off-screen conversation he must have had with Mobius then, because I feel like I've been paying super close attention to some of these details. And we had even theorized that maybe they weren't real in our last episode. It just felt a little off. I was questioning that. I put it in my notes here to even bring up. I'll have to rewatch that cartoon again in the beginning as they're explaining the TVA. But the idea that their variants, they're enslaved then. The TVA, all of what encompasses the TVA are slave workers. And I think the timekeepers are real, Adam. I don't think that they're fake, but I don't think that they're all powerful, all knowing. I don't think they're the ones to be feared. There's somebody that's puppeteering that I still stand there. I think that's like I brought up last episode with the Minority Report. I think it is an entity or entities taking advantage of something with power, whatever that those somethings are.
So I agree with Adam. The takeaway from that episode was the fact that they are all variants. I don't think that there is one true timeline. I think there's a multiverse of a whole bunch of different timelines, and the timekeepers, instead of trying to keep that timeline, they are actually trying to steer the different timelines into what they want to happen.
You think there's actually time multiverses this current moment as we're watching Loki, that they just exist and they're trying to prune them down?
Yep, they're trying to make it fit their agenda and narrow it down to one timeline that they wanted to control. And they're using Loki to do it. I mean, I could be reading too much into it, like the whole Luminous thing, Adam. But I could be feeding too much into it. But I think even down to the stones and everything, it's just a ruse for Loki to make him, I think they're playing Loki to make, you know, the multiverses fit their agenda and kind of, you know, merge into their one timeline that they want to happen, or event that they want to happen.
So their ultimate end game is Loki. He is going to be their agent of destruction of these multiverses. That's your thing. Yeah. Oh,
they're using himself to do it. You know, playing up against himself.
Who do you think these people are then? I mean, is it somebody we've met before, do you think? This council is a bunch of characters we've met in these last decade?
It could be, but see, the thing is, what Marvel's good at is they're really good at misdirection, first of all. And second of all, if it's connecting into the Doctor Strange, you know, Mephisto, right, is the big bad for that one, rumored?
It's Luminous.
Yeah, it's Luminous. Mephisto was the rumor for, maybe a Nightmare is the one controlling it. I don't know.
Mm. It's so crazy because I fixated on the idea that he was willing to throw caution to the wind and create the multiverse, even though going through that whole, video training session of the TVA and warning against it.
Well, I mean, the end of last episode, literally, Sylvie bombed the timeline. She did a 9/11 on the timeline and made all of these alternate branches that what's just one more where Loki gets. Plus, if Loki changes the timeline, that means there's a chance that the TVA will come and rescue them or capture them or whatever.
I know that she did that. And I'm looking at it as though that was a distraction. That was to kind of her end game is to get to the timekeepers. Right. And so I was like, here, you deal with this. Not necessarily that the multiverse was created in that moment. It was just like, you got to clip all these branches. You're going to be busy. So the offices are going to be open. And that's why her teleporting into the TVA office, her intention was to locate the timekeepers. she meddled with that TVA agent's mind to get the idea of where or how to approach the timekeepers as the gold elevators. In my mind, it wasn't like the TVA couldn't handle what she created. They can still be pruned. They can still be reset. It's if they go too long, that's where it becomes a problem.
Yeah, but I Loki, if Sylvie is Loki is all about creating chaos.
Right.
And so with the branches that Sylvie created, I think she has more than one goal. Like, she's against the timekeepers. She doesn't agree with the, at least that's what I get from everything we've seen from her, is she doesn't agree with this. Unlike our Loki, where he wants to get to the timekeepers to possibly control the TVA, Sylvie wants to just create pure chaos around the sacred timeline, because it seems like she just disagrees with the entirety of the TVA. Yes, but probably not to take control of the entire TVA, but to create the multiverse again, or for the first time.
Her end goal is create the multiverse.
Yes.
Okay. Then why wasn't it her idea to create, to change the timeline of Lamentis? Why wasn't it her idea? Why was it Loki's idea that he's the one that came up with the idea of, well, we can get off planet if we change the trajectory of what's already been written? You know what I'm saying? Like, why wouldn't that be her immediate go-to? She was kind of just resigning to the fact, like, we're fucked.
You kind of just shut it down. My entire theory.
I did a Luminous on you.
Yeah, I was about to say, just like I shut down Seth's theory.
You know, I take issue with the fact that you called it boring. I was really involved in this episode. I know we only stayed on one location, but I love the location we stayed on. I am digging the rapport between the two Lokis, and I'm very, very invested in seeing if it's going to result in them boning each other down.
I think maybe that's the only reason why, but yeah, no, it definitely was a thing. I mean, it made headlines. Everyone's making a big deal about it. So
I think that's going to do it for us on this episode. Seth, let the audience know how to keep up with you and your antics.
Well, you can find me floating around the RLU. Never know where I'm going to pop up. Seth.Horton.33 on Instagram. I know it's long, but it's what they gave me, and I just never changed it.
And when he says they, he's talking, of course, about the timekeepers.
Yes, the timekeepers and the other Seth in the multiverse.
He's the 33rd variant, is what he is.
Exactly.
You can find me on Instagram at @urban_spidey and on YouTube, Urban Spidey.
This has been What's Worth Watching. Thank you for listening.
You know me, yo, I be low-key and could never be Thor, never be low-key. Not ever seen like I'm G-O-D. Yo, quit this crazy scene like a B-O-B. You know me, yo, I be low-key and could never be Thor, never be low-key. Not ever seen like I'm G-O-D. Yo, quit this crazy scene like a B-O-B. Some of these youngins feel they need to riot. I'm just trying to plot and chill, yo, I'm keeping quiet. Stay keeping all my work under wraps for love and thunder. Finna bring the thunder back.
like a SGA, a Luke Dort, or like Primetime, your son, a two sport. Nah, I still want my life private, want a peaceful, but I be used to the noise, I'm from the East Coast. You know me, yo, I be low key, and could never be Thor, never be low key. Not ever seen like I'm G-O-D, yo, quit this crazy scene like a B-O-B. You know me, yo, I be low key, and could never be Thor, never be low key. Not ever seen like I'm G-O-D, yo, quit this crazy scene like a B-O-B. So low key, about to move to a ghost town.
Whoa, Shang-Chi trailer looks pretty fucking cool.
Didn't we see that already?
No, there's a new one, it's pretty fucking good.
I don't know. That one seems like that's gonna be like the Black Widow of the MCU.
Black Widow isn't gonna be the Black Widow of the MCU.
I don't know, because at least it has Black Widow, somebody we can we can hang our hat on.
Adam, you know me, I'm always on your side. But Shang-Chi looks like a really good martial arts movie, like a really good,
watch the new trailer,
like a
watch
good Snake Eyes preview, right?
Watch the new trailer right now. I promise you, you'll change your mind.
I'll message you.
He's trying to have a conversation with you, Dick.
I don't know, because dude, I'm a martial arts fanatic. Like, I love martial arts films. Like, I watch all of them.
Yeah.
So this, to me, I am excited for it, but there's a disconnect from the MCU for me.
Yes.
That's all.
Yes.
Well, there won't be when you watch this trailer.
It feels so on its own island. And I felt that way with Doctor Strange. I felt that way with Ant-Man. It's just that Doctor Strange never won me until he showed up as a character in Infinity War. Ant-Man grabbed me because I love the kid element that was the family element that was being told. And I loved how Disney really dug their heels into what modern families can look like, you know, that you can have a daddy and a stepdad and you can have mommy happy with somebody else and still be loved and feel loved from both sides. I love that element that they introduced. And that's what really grabbed me with Ant-Man, because I wasn't an Ant-Man fan before that.
No one was.
Yeah, nobody was. They lost the heart with Ant-Man and the Wasp. I mean, that completely lost what was working.
Yeah, they tried to go Guardians in the Galaxy with I feel like Ant-Man and the Wasp was Star-Lord. Like, if you put Star-Lord in a movie by himself.
Ant-Man and the Wasp was just garbage.
Yeah, I don't know. It's the humor.
You're trying to force a relationship. You're trying to force on-screen chemistry with Paul Rudd and Angelina Lilly. And Angelina Lilly's like so wooden.
Evangeline Lilly.
She's so wooden. She's like, I don't think she has rapport with anyone in life.
I think it would have been a better movie if they would have maybe explored him beating her a little bit. You know what I mean? A
little bit. Choke her out once.
Just a little bit.
You know, put her in her place. Let her know who's the man.
That's it.
It's Ant-Man, baby. Yeah. Yes. Yeah, no, but I mean, that's what I mean. It's not just Shang-Chi. I felt like that with Doctor Strange. I felt like that with Ant-Man, Adam. And ultimately, they won me over. You know, I still don't think Doctor Strange deserves his own movie. And that's why he's not getting his own movie. He's getting a sequel that involves the multiverse, which involves all of the Avengers, obviously, because he can't handle it on his own. Ant-Man doesn't really deserve to have another sequel because he's proven that he doesn't work well with the cast of characters that he has in the mix of an ensemble. I love Scott Lang in the mix with everybody else. I love him geeking out with Captain America and all that, being surrounded by all the heavy hitters. Shang-Chi is an island, man. I mean, nobody, who are you going to latch on to, Adam? Who's your guy in there?
Shang-Chi. What are you talking about? Who's your guy?
He just seems so Evangeline Lilly-ish.
You haven't, have you seen Simu Liu in anything?
No.
Yeah, exactly. Kim's Convenience.
He's really good in Kim's Convenience.
Yeah, but he doesn't strike me as a martial artist. That's the only problem. I'm so into Kim's Convenience that all I see is the sun. I'm watching the trailer now. Yeah.
I'm looking at it now.
Strong enough to carry them.
Oh shit, that's pretty sick. I like the scaffolding fight. That's really awesome. The soundtrack sounds cool. I got that from the first trailer. Oh, there are Earthbenders in here. Aslan's in here from Narnia? That's crazy. Oh!
What was that? What is that last creature? Was that Abomination?
That was Abomination.
Oh, shit, that is!
Abomination and Wong.
That's Killer Croc. Oh, shit.
Hey, that's
it looks good.
Who? What's that motherfucking dragon's name? What's the dragon's name again? Falkor from Neverending Story.
Fing Fang Foom.
Yeah, Fing Fang Foom.
Is that Fing Fang Foom?
That's what people are theorizing.
I mean, it's green, right? Or I mean, it's kind of hard because it's in water.
No, he's white, I think. White and red.
Then it is Falkor.
Bound for the reload. Pickers as big as my ego. Man, we'll give her the D on the dealer. If she ain't fucking, she got to go. Tell her don't waste my time. Police wanna stop me, search my clothes. Word. Tell them don't waste my time. If it ain't money, I ain't involved. No. Tell them don't waste my time. Waste man waffling down my phone. True. Tell them don't waste my time. No, no, no. Tell them don't waste my time. Ka-boom. Tell them don't waste my time. Oh yeah. Tell them don't waste my time. No. Tell them don't waste my time. No, no, no. Tell them don't waste my time. Ka-boom. Tell them don't waste my time. B-A-H. Tell them don't waste my time. No. Tell them don't waste my time. No, no, no. Pretty girl on my left. My left. Pretty girl on my right. My right. South side of that rib. That rib. Tell them don't waste my time. Trucks rolled up and he's buzzing. Screaming out, if they ain't with us, then fuck him. Excuse my French, I ain't worried about nothing. What? Nigga, I ain't worried about nothing. Packing shows, stacking dough. VIP lounge full of ratchet hoes. Them boy talking about trapping hoes. Fuck boys, probably still jacking phones. Roll up in my AJ slippers. Wanna fire, hitting first, yeah, I Ray J. Niggas, no chase till I taste straight liquor. Got my kids in her mouth, that's a play date, nigga. If she ain't fucking, she got to go. Tell her don't waste my time. Police wanna stop me, search my clothes. Tell them don't waste my time. If it ain't money, I ain't involved. Tell them don't waste my time. Waste man waffling down my phone. Tell them don't waste my time. No, no, no. Tell them don't waste my time. Tell them don't waste my time. Oh yeah. Tell them don't waste my time. Tell them don't waste my time. No, no, no. Tell them don't waste my time. 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 No, no, no.